children. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like I said, we have a guest speaker today, and it's Abel Orbistondo. Comes all the way from Hawaii. So make sure you tell him, let's all hear you say aloha. All right, go for it, brother.
Testing, testing, thank you. I guess I don't need to do the aloha. 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 My name is Abel Kealii Okekai Orbistondo Ko'u Inoa. I just said good morning, how are you? And I'm the youth pastor here at Columbia River Foursquare Church, and I just want to say thank you for coming and hanging out with us. Thank you. And everyone online, thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us as well. Just to do some honorary things, I just want to say my mom is in the house today. Yeah! It was kind of funny because she called me up one day just randomly and said, hey, I'm coming to Oregon. And I go, oh, sweet. And then later we talk and then we hang up and then I kind of realize later, oh, I'm speaking this Sunday too. And so also, Dad, thank you for watching online. I know you're tuning in with us, so aloha, mahalo. So today, we're going to be in the book of Mark. So if you guys have your Bibles, you guys can turn with me to the book of Mark. And we're just going to read Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31. And don't worry. If you guys don't bring your Bibles, just like the youth, we have the big Bible up for you. And just like, you know, some of them that don't like to bring their Bibles because it's too big, don't worry. We all know we have cell phones, so you can download the app as well. It's pretty cool. But on Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 30, some of you guys may know it, it's the rich young ruler. And so we're going to be talking about and we're going to be hanging out in that chunk of verses. And then we're going to see where the Holy Spirit brings us that day or today. And so if you can read with me or just listen, I know Pastor Mike loves for everyone to read out loud, but I get distracted when you guys start reading with me. There's several times where you guys were reading with me and then I lose track because I was listening to you guys read. I'm just saying, Hawaii education, we listen to the people reading. But it goes like this, Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 31, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. This is God's word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. Father, let me decrease that you may increase. Lord, that your word will fall onto the hearts of the people, myself included, that we would actually resonate with it, that we would hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church, that we would be transformed and changed by the renewing of our mind. As we dig into Scripture, Holy Spirit, I pray that you pull every rock out of our hearts, every weed that's lingering in our hearts, everything that will hinder us from the gospel to be birthed. Father, I pray that you will soften our hearts in the name of Jesus, that you will put fertilizer, Lord God, to soften and bring nutrition where the soil needs nutrition. Father, we pray that you will just start to till it, move everything that will hinder the gospel to be grown in our lives. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move into this place. Transform the way we think, the way we view you. Heal our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our hands, our feet, so that we may be better ambassadors for you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. So today I want to share a Hawaiian word. It's called mo'olelo. Mo'olelo. It means story, myth, legend, and history. And so, just a disclaimer. All my Hawaiian buddies that are watching, I tried my best pronouncing it. And so I'm trying, but just in case I mess up on the pronunciation, don't cancel me out there. It's meaning a story, myth, and legend, and history. The word is derived from the words mo'o and olelo, or the succession of speech, as the Hawaiian stories were traditionally passed down orally. Used in a sentence, e malamopono, e na molelo, ohana, which translate as take care of your family stories. And so today, ohana, I want to mo'olelo with you. I want to talk story with you. I want to mo'olelo with you. Because this is how we're going to pass down what God has done in our life. The importance to share your testimonies, to talk about what God is doing in your life. This is how important it is, because younger generations need to know. If you don't want to share it, we're going to fall into the sins of what you fell because you did not want to share what God has done in your life. So today, mo'olelo, we're going to talk story today. We're going to talk today. Why? Because it's important to share what God is doing in your life. And so I have my good friend, also graduated from high school, so now I can actually say friend because he's out of the youth ministry. James Olson, he's going to help me out with an illustration. Give him a hand. Nice. Look at that strong young buck. Okay, my bad. He said it's not that heavy. All right. You ready, Chief?
Yep.
All right. So we're doing this rough draft, so it's going to be on YouTube forever. Yeah. All right. So today I wanted to pass down that word mo'olelo with you. And I have my good friend right here, James. He's going to illustrate for you guys as I tell this story. So let's listen. A young child had a choice of seed to plant. He chose his seed and began to plant. As he planted the seed, he tended to it, and the seed began to grow. It began to take life. And the once seed, now tree, begins to grow, sprouting strong and deep into the earth. The roots grew deep and it started to build up. The young child, now adult, stumbles back to the tree he planted, seeing fruit upon the tree. He plucks and eats the fruit. Oh, yeah. He quickly notices the fruit's flavor as sour, bitter, bad. Despite the bad taste, the fruit looked desirable and good still. Yet even with the bad taste, he continues to eat it. Yeah, pick it back up, eat it. Ashamed of the bad fruit, the young man begins to hide it, hide the fruit. Good job. Yeah, hide that bad boy. However, the more the young man hid the fruit, the more the fruit bared seeds, producing more trees and creating more of the bad fruit, surrounding him and engulfing him in a forest of bad fruit. Can you guys give him up? Give him a clap. Thank you, James. I'm not going to lie. I found it in the back of the fridge. So it went really good with the illustration. I guess I should have told him that before I gave him the fruit. My bad, James. We all deal with bad fruit in our lives. Fruit of the past mistakes, fruit of bad decisions, fruit of shame and regret, fruit that reminds us of our sins, reminds us of our past decisions. And we all learned to manage our fruit, just like the young boy, managing the fruit and going, ah, nasty, hide. Or just like a young boy when the mom tells him to clean up the room and they put it underneath the bed. Grab the trash and throw it underneath the rug. Manage the fruit. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For sin is more than doing bad things. Sin is putting good things and turning them into ultimate things." Sin is more than just doing the bad things. It's turning good things and making them ultimate things of your life. I'm not saying that just doing the bad things. No, I'm saying that this is an add-on to it. It's taking good things that God has placed in our life, and then making it our sole purpose. Consuming our time, our energy, and focusing on that alone. Non-believer named David Foster Wallace. When I first read his quote, I was stunned. Because this is a non-believer saying these words. A person that does not believe in any God says these words before he died and committed and took his life. He said this: "There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. Everyone has a choice. We all worship something. We all give time and allegiance to something. We all put our faith in something. The question is what? What do we put our faith in? What do we put our life in? What are we putting all the eggs in the basket in?" Dr. Timothy Keller, the late Dr. Timothy Keller, said this, and you're going to probably hear a lot of his quotes. Love him. But he said, "If at the very least faith is what you trust in, then everyone has faith in something. Everyone has faith in something. Sin is taking God off of the throne of your life and replacing it with something else." Isaiah 53:6 says this: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We all have turned away from God. We have all put our faith in something, someone, or even ourselves as the ultimate authority and decision-making of our life. We rebelled. We separated. We walked away. We are the guilty party because humanity turned away from God. We are the ones who turned away on Jesus. We are the ones who are unfaithful. We are the humans who would rather manage our sin or hide our sin instead of dealing with the root of our. John chapter 3 verse 19 says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." I want to let that sit for a bit. Just like the young person tasting the bad fruit, he decided to hide the fruit instead of dealing with the tree. I recognize in my life I have learned how to manage my anger so much. I learned how to manage the things that I struggled with. But Jesus doesn't want us to just manage the fruit. He wants us to get to the root. He wants us to get to the root. By managing the fruit and hiding it away, the young man hoped that the situation would change. But if you don't kill the root, then the fruit is still going to produce. If you don't take care of the root, it's just going to keep reproducing. It's just going to keep coming back like a weed. We need to stop managing our sins, stop addressing the fruit, and start tackling the root. When the root dies, the tree dies. When the tree dies, the fruit dies. And then the testimony is born. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31, the verse, the big chapter we read is the account of a rich young ruler who decides to go to Jesus to ask him a question. The question was, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He goes to Jesus and asks him that. Jesus answers his question with a question. Well, who's good? Only God is good, reminding him. And then he goes on and talks about the commandments, the Torah, the law. But I find something very interesting that Jesus leaves out of that section is the first great commandment. If you look back at that part, he talks about right into do not murder, do not steal. But Jesus doesn't say that first commandment, if you look at the Ten Commandments, if you look at the Torah in Exodus chapter 23 or Deuteronomy chapter 5, 7, it says, you shall have no other gods before or beside me. Jesus didn't say that when he was talking to the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler says to Jesus, yo, Jesus, when he came up and asked Jesus about this stuff, and Jesus was like, hey, don't do these things. And the rich young ruler came up to him all with his head up, chest out, proud. I kind of think of like Conor McGregor. What must I do to get saved? Oh yeah, you got to do this. I did that. Thinking that probably this guy is going to go, good job, man. You got it. Keep it going. No, Jesus didn't say that though. He didn't do that. What did he tell him? Well, he recognized something. Jesus saw something, and he didn't want this young rich ruler to just deal with the fruit. He wanted to get to that root. And what did he recognize? You don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so he puts it in a parable and a little challenge. Well, then sell all your things and come follow me. And the rich young ruler is like, I got too many idols that I love. Too many good things that became ultimate things in my life. So Mark 10, 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Remember, he looked at him and with love. Loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. Jesus knew what he was struggling with. He knew what the young rich ruler needed. He knew. Dr. Timothy Keller said this, the sin that is most destructive in your life right now is the one you are most defensive about. The sin, this is for the people in the back, the sin that is most destructive in your life right now is the one you are most defensive about. I remember reading that and I started to think in my life as a young man and I was like, which one am I boxing out? Which one am I like, you can't go this way? Which one is the one that I look on top of the news and I go, man, that person's an idiot? Or when I read those ones where the pastor struggles and then falls out of faith because they messed up in the church. And back of my mind, I remember as a young person, I'm like, that pastor's an idiot. Like putting judgment on them. And then later when I read this, what I read from Dr. Timothy Keller and through the scriptures, I was like, Abel, there's a root that I need to take care of. There's a root that I need to get to. He knew, Jesus knew what this young boy or young man needed to hear. He knew what was in his heart. Jesus, with love, goes for the root, not manage the fruit. He went for the root. Jesus wasn't going to play the fruit manager, nor feed into the young man's delusion of life. Just like a doctor, Jesus prescribed him a prescription to help him, to bring new life, and to answer his question. Again, Dr. Timothy Keller puts it this way. If your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idolized version of yourself. I remember Pastor Mike saying something similar to that. And then when I read it from Dr. Timothy Keller, I was like, yeah, amen, Pastor Mike. Preach. That I had to struggle with. Because there's sometimes in my life I'm like, am I listening to myself or am I listening to the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will push back. He is a good, good Father. He's not going to let idols or unmistakes happen to just slip in. No, he's going to push back because he is holy, good, loving. Jesus could have ended the conversation with, good job, young boy. Keep it up. He could have puffed this young boy up and say, yeah, you didn't steal. Good job. Keep on not stealing. Oh, you don't disrespect your mom and dad? Good job. Keep it going. Oh, man, you're great. Jesus could have ended the conversation right there, puff him up and just ended it. But he didn't. He didn't. Jesus pushed back. Jesus didn't turn a blind eye. He saw what this young man needed and in love spoke. My main point for today, and like I tell you guys every time I speak, I only have a bachelor's degree, so you're only getting one main point. So once I get a master's degree, you'll finally get two. So if you one day come in and you're like, oh, he's putting 2 points. Congrats, yep, I got my master's degree. Now if you saw 3 points, that's when I get my doctorate's degree. But 1 point today. Jesus doesn't want you to manage the fruit, but get to the root. He wants you to get to the root. Because how is your testimony supposed to flourish if you keep allowing the tree to keep living? How are you supposed to show victory and say, hey, look, young people, this is how you follow Jesus. And being like, look, this is how with Jesus, this is how we took care of the root. I love hearing those stories of people that have been in addiction, got out of addiction because of following Jesus, and then sharing it with everyone they could, anyone that would listen, anyone that wants to hear it. Because they know how destructive that lifestyle is, and then what Jesus has done in their life, and then shared it with people. Because even people that haven't even experienced that could be listening to that testimony and going, okay, I'm going to keep my eye out for that. When I see that sin happening or that lion crouching up, I know what to do. When I see that thing coming up, I can say, not today, Satan, and walk around it. When we don't share our testimonies and our struggles, this is what happens to the youth. Trip, stumble, fall right in, and go, that generation, how dare they not tell us? And the cycle continues over and over and over until mo'olelo actually happens. At youth camp, we learned. All my students who went to youth camp, 1 John chapter 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. How many of you guys remember your childhood? Because I can tell you right now, I learned real quick, don't get daddy mad. I love you, Dad. I'm just saying right now, I really do. But I remembered, don't run by the room when he's sleeping. Don't scream and go, ah, when daddy's door is closed. But see, that translated later too. When things got tough, I didn't go to daddy. When I wanted to learn about a man, I didn't go to daddy. That fruit continued to grow. But because of perfect love, I learned that I can go to my Heavenly Father. I learned, because that Father is not over there going, you ready to mess up? Right, you better think about it again. But instead, he's like, come. I can handle it. Whatever you're going through, I can handle it. Come. Come. Talk with me. Just chat with me. Be with me. When we finally come to the realization that God is not here to punish us, but to love us, it changes the way we interact with him. It changes our prayer life. It changes the way we talk about him. It changes the way we think about him. It changes how we view other people. It changes how we view his creation, from the smallest ant all the way up to the human being. How we view each other, it changes, because how we view God changes. When we finally come to the realization that God is not here to punish us, our relationship changes. We are then at the beginning of dealing with the root instead of the fruit. Matthew 11, verse 29 through 30 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants us to come to him. He wants us to do the work with him. He's not going to be like, okay, here's the tool, go figure it out. No, he's there with the tool, with another tool, because he gives us another tool, because he's everything, he can get everything. So we both have tools. I've been at a job where they told me to do something and they didn't give me any tools. They told me to figure it out. Some of you guys understand what I'm talking about. But he's over there with the tool with us, getting down, getting dirty, digging deep. Jesus wants us to come to him. He wants us to work with us, to deal with the root than just the fruit. You may feel overwhelmed. You may feel alone. You may feel outcast, but you are not alone. The mountain can move. The water can split. The walls can fall, and you can walk through dry land. It is possible. Why? Because it happened to me. Do you think that I can stand in front of you and preach without it happening to me? The only difference is I'm willing to share it. I tell the students what is going on and what God is doing in my life. The first thing, if you can ask any of them when I'm talking to them, some of you guys experienced it too. I ask you this simple question. What is God doing in your life? I want to hear. I want to hear. Because he moves. He is alive. He is well. And he can move. It's beautiful. I tell the students a lot this. There is no such thing as a Lone Star Christian. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a John Wayne Christian. There is no such thing as being by yourself in this faith. You need people, and I tell people this. You need people above you that will keep you accountable and your mentors. You need people beside you that is your age or whatever, your friends that will, when your arms are tired, they will grab it and lift it up for worship. You need people that you need younger students or younger people that you're pouring out your life. Children you're pouring into. Young teens you're pouring into. Young women or young men, whatever your gender is, whatever, sticking with them and just walking life with them. Pouring into the younger generation. You need these three tiers in your life flowing. Why? Because it's like a river flowing through and this passing on mo'olelo to the generations. It is important. I tell you, I tell that to my students over and over. You can't walk this Christian faith by yourself, especially without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I tell you this because we need each other. The Lord is with us. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" The Spirit of God will help you tackle the root. The Spirit of God will direct you to the right people, the right counselor, the right therapist, the right pastor, the right friends, the right family, the right coworker that will come alongside you in a season to help you tackle that root in your life. You guys know. You experienced it before. How important it is to remember the Holy Spirit in your life. But it all starts with the Holy Spirit. And so today, I have another cool friend that's going to be playing for us. And this is what I want us to do. Because I'm a youth pastor, I like to do practical things. So you guys are all going to do a thought process with me. So Charity, she's our worship leader for the youth ministry. She's going to be playing a song for you guys. And I want all of you to close your eyes. I know that's scary. But the Holy Spirit's here, so you guys can relax and chill. But I want you to listen to the lyrics, but this is what I want you to do the most. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what root is God challenging you right now? What root does the Holy Spirit want you to tackle? What is that root? And I encourage you right now, if He speaks, write it down. Write that sucker down. Because just like me, I know you're going to forget. Because I know the students forget real quick. They say note takers are world changers. Note takers are world changers. So I encourage you, close your eyes when Charity starts to play this song. Listen to the lyrics. And I want you to, if the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you and say, "This is the root. I want to walk with you on dealing. This is the route that we're going to go on an adventure on to tackle. This is the route that we're going to deal with." And I want you to write it down. And then just enjoy our Heavenly Father together. So take some time. And just work with the Holy Spirit on this one. Thank you.
Check. There it is. Okay. Take two.
You saved me. You saved me.
Thank you for everything you're doing. Father, I know that you are speaking to the hearts of your people, Lord God. Father, I know that you spoke to some that said, this is the part. And I know that you have been still talking to the ones that have been with you for many years, encouraging them, supporting them, and loving them. And you're also speaking to those who just are learning about the faith right now. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would start to move and shape us, pull everything that is not of you out of our hearts, that your gospel will be built and grown into our lives. Right now, with all heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to open it up and say, if you never asked Jesus into your life, and you're wanting the Holy Spirit into your life, remember the scripture, it said, just ask, and our good Father will give you the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit. And so if you are wanting the Holy Spirit, if you're asking, Jesus, I want you in my life. Jesus, I want you in my world. Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me up today. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, I encourage you to have that courage and raise your hand up. We would love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. My wife would love to share something.
I just feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to come up, do something. And it's a big step for some of you. This is, you know, examining your heart and being vulnerable before God is a big deal. And as you're sitting and listening to the Holy Spirit, I think some of you, this is for you. What is that root? What's the root of the problem in your life? What have you been struggling with? When you really be honest about it. Don't shove it in the closet. Don't hide it under the rug. What is that root? All of us have it. All of us have something. No matter where you are in your walk with Jesus. And I think Charity's going to keep playing. And I think we just need some ministry time. So I wanted to see I'm going to call you Paul, but Pastor Phil and Diane, can you guys come up and help pray for people? And Tim and Nadine, and I want you to come up and kneel before the Lord and lay it at his feet. What is that root in your life? I know this is big. We don't do this very often, but I think there is power in a physical movement. God, I was praying this morning that God would soften hearts, soften, you know, let us hear with our ears, but give us feet to move when he wants us to move. What does God want you to do? Does he want you to move? Does he need you to lay that down at his feet? I want to just pray and pray, continue to pray, but come down forward and lay it down. And if you want prayer, great. But if you want to just be with Jesus, come on down and leave it at Jesus' feet.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we are listening to you. We are listening to you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Your prayer, you hear our prayers. Our prayers are not left on the ground. It's not on the side. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this freedom to be able to stand up, walk, come to you physically and say, Jesus, I'm here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your grace. Woo, come on, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we're not bound by chains, fear, perfect love. We thank you, Papa. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing, Holy Spirit. We thank you for this physical act of faith, trust, and hope. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would move in our hearts, our minds, and our soul. Even we know, Lord God, that you can still work wherever we're at. Just like in the Orbistondo family, we recognize that when my dad made that decision to follow Jesus, it affected the whole Orbistondo family. And so, Father, you can work out on the street, in our room, at our workplace, wherever you're at. And so, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. And again, like my wife said, if you guys need prayer for anything, we're going to just leave it open. And then Charity is going to be playing this last song. I did not plan this. But this is what we do. If you don't understand what has happened, it's called listening to the Holy Spirit and acting. If you've never seen this before, this is what it means to listen to the Holy Spirit.